Hey, peace, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Corner Store Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Koval, and thank you for tuning in. Thank you for staying with us into 2021. I hope you're doing well and maintaining, and I hope your holiday season is bringing you a little bit of peace in the midst of what's happening in the world. I also want to remind people to please subscribe or resubscribe to us on Apple Music. We had a bit of a reconfiguration, and so still need you to subscribe to Apple Music and consider rating and telling a friend. You know, we put a lot of work into getting really quality folks in the Corner Store every week, and today is no different. We have incredible organizers, thought leaders, artists, creatives, people who I think are really making not only a big impact in Chicago and beyond, but are innovating, I think, ways to think about art and the nonprofit and for-profit space. I would say, you know, creative entrepreneurs for real. They are the founders of an incredible space called Alt Space Chicago. We have in the Corner Store Jordan Campbell and John Veal. Gentlemen, welcome.
What's Yo. Up, everybody? Hey, Corner Store family.
What's going on? What an entrance. Wow.
Yeah.
Y'all.
I felt like, man, I was ready to get in the ring and throw a
few. Yeah, we're
like a professional. Who's hyping me up? Okay.
Wow.
No, it's real rap, man. I want to talk obviously about what you guys do, but I've been, you know, privy to be close to it and near it in a few different instances, and it's just it's amazing. So I, you know, for those that don't know, tell us about what Alt Space Chicago is.
Yeah, for sure. Jordan, you want to go first and I'll follow?
Yeah, man. Wow. I would go to say first, man, we talking real. This is family. So Alt Space is an extension of who John and I are. That's the first thing, right? It started with a friendship. It starts with our faith. It starts with us being members of society. And then it extends itself into community, right? And within community, we see ourselves, but we also see the importance of others. And so we are artists. And so the lens in which we use is through art. And through that, we are able to have conversations, not only through words, but also through action and through our own creations, right? And so Alt Space in itself is a vessel. You know, it's a way in which we galvanize, it's a way in which we listen, it's a way in which we unify, it's a way in which we challenge systems, it's a response. And I'm speaking metaphorically because it's hard to just pinpoint what it is, you know, and itself is a platform. You know, when you go onto the computer on a Microsoft computer, it has an Alt button on there. And on its own, that button it serves no purpose nor function. But once you join it with something else, then it's able to do something. Then it's able to serve a function and a purpose. And for John and myself, it's just that. Alt Space is that conduit. It's that binder that allows and supports other actions through our actions.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd add is that, you know, we're a 501c3 nonprofit based on the west side of Chicago, specifically Austin, Chicago. You know, Austin is the second biggest community in Chicago, you know, but the only narratives that we hear from Austin is often of like disinvestment or violence. You know, these are like the narratives of the west side. You know, and the west side might not have much, but it has families. You know, it's got a lot of our friends, you know, like I'm from the west side of Chicago. And so first things first, Alt Space stands for the alternative. You know, we are an alternative space. You know, I think that a lot of the art spaces and practices that we now know as mainstream, whether they're galleries like White Cube or festivals like PS1 or like, Art Basel, they weren't necessarily created for people of color, you know, with us in mind, with us at the table. And I think, you know, when me and Jordan started doing exhibitions and we were showing work, and Jordan was working as the artist in resident at Sweetwater Foundation, and I was working at Rebuild Foundation, you know, I think that we realized that there was just a really great need to be a platform for our community members, and that there were so many talented people, but they weren't, they didn't have the resources to be all that we believe that they were, you know? And I think sometimes that's all you need is like, man, we send people to college, and you know, people from our communities go into debt for years, you know, going to these colleges, and they get out of college and there's no jobs waiting for them. And you end up just kind of in your hometown. It's like, yo, man, what do you do when there are no options? It's like, okay, cool. Like, we're not going to try to bend over backwards trying to get into PS1 or the Venice Biennale. We're going to create our own. You know, we can create our own industry right here because that's what the West Side has. It's got potential. You know, it's the wild, wild West, man. It's the Gold Coast for us, you know. And so I think for me and Jordan, AltSpace was a way in which we could make our dreams that were on paintings originally tangible in the real world.
Damn. Yeah, man. I love talking with y'all because you guys are smart as fuck. And it's inspiring to hear y'all talk. And part of what I've seen you do is to also contest what public space means. And so that notion of alt space, like the space aspect of it, it is an alternative to a kind of public domain and the notion of public space. I've seen that to be very powerful. There's so much I want to ask. And so I guess in terms of disciplines, you know, you're both artists. How do you start, and what is your individual practice like?
I'll start us off on this. Yeah, man. I'm so excited with this conversation as well, because it's like when I think about public space, I think about like how public space is utilized as commercial space, you know, or they have like a lot of government signage, but it really should be for the people. And so like, how do we democratize where people walk, you know, and where they hang out? But I think personally for me, I'm a transdisciplinary artist, you know, and so what that means for me is that I use multiple mediums together to create an experience for those in which come through and have community with me. And so my practice is communal. I love writing. I write every day. I draw, I paint, you know, I'm pretty proficient at it. But at a point, I realized I can't be good at everything. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, I'm going to be good at like maybe two or three things, but I'm not going to be good at everything. And, you know, I think a lot of my thinking comes from the film industry world. You know, that's where me and Jordan met maybe 5 or 6 years ago. We met on a documentary trip to New York, and we went to the East Coast, you know, New York and Baltimore and Washington. And we were shooting a documentary about the next generation. And Jordan was the director of photography. I was the assistant director. And everyone played their role. You know, everyone had their role, but every role was so crucial. And when you slacked off in your team, everyone felt it, because it was like a team of 5 or 6, right? And so I love that process, because we felt like we were brothers, man. It was like you party late at night, you wake up, you know, you have your quiet time, you get with God, and then you work like for the rest of the day until dinner that night, you know. And so I think translating that into my painting practice, I wanted that same thing, you know. And so Jordan was my best friend, and he'd be that guy who'd come over in the morning with the coffee, you know, and like get me ready for work. And then when I get off of work, we'd be drinking whiskey, working on these paintings together, you know, and working on the show together. And then just inviting other people to the studio and like, let's work. And I think a lot of rappers work this way too. You know, I think that's one of the ways in which we think about AltSpace is like, man, the Wu-Tang Clan, when they came out, they had a plan. You know, it was like, all right, cool. We're going to start with like Method Man, and then like Cuban Lynx is going to come out on this day. And, you know, like RZA had a plan for everybody to have their individual goals, but at the same time, the collective goal. And I think that's a lot of like who we are.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I think, man, when you think about relationship, we refer to it as like, being an architect and an engineer, you know, and we switch that role in different points at different times. You know, John talked about like being a writer, you know, that's like you said, very proficient in that. And so I kind of stepped away. I'm like, all right, brother, here you go, here pass the baton. Design, you know, that's my background in like aesthetics. I'm really keen on that, and so is he. He's very well and versed in like design and being abstract with things. I think we're both good at that and coming up with concepts. And so I'm a builder, you know, as well. So I'm very used to using my hands and constructing things and breaking things down and figuring out how to build and use what we have. And so a lot of our projects are an extension of that. It's simply using the tools in which we have. And both of us implement that within our practices. You know, using old canvases and repurposing them. We just translated that right into our nonprofit and understanding, wow, this is a way for us to be sustainable too. It's finding resources and repurposing them and figuring out how can we be more environmentally friendly within our non-for-profit and practice individually. You know, myself, I started as an environmental engineer and went into photography. So for me, I've always been thinking about my footprint within the earth, and then also thinking about how do we tell these stories as we're here. You know, my dad always used to have the camera. My family's big on that, you know, photo albums, the videos, the old VHS, like cassette cameras, like, yo, we had those. And then me seeing these images of myself and of my family and thinking about it's so powerful because it brings a sense of pride and dignity and knowing of oneself. And I think I've always desired to share that with other people and highlight that within other people. And so becoming a photographer was my way of doing that, to tell the stories of other people and to figure out, even when they're not, you know, at their happiest moments, it's still a beauty and it's a pride that they can still have because they're just a human being, you know. And we wanted to figure out a way to bind those two ends of the spectrum, you know, with John being a transdisciplinary artist and me being a little bit more focused. Now we can really share this with the world and include a larger audience because we're coming at it from two different angles.
Beautiful. One of the ways I saw this come to life, you know, I think it was your photography, or at least that photography project where on the West Side, you know, blown up these beautiful portraits of people that I presumed to be from the neighborhood was displayed in a curatorial manner on the outside of a building that had been abandoned, or, you know, had been in disrepair for a long time. And, you know, beautifully rendered were these photographs that existed on the outside of the building, along with what I came to know of some of the other sites you guys have been building around the city, accompanied by a people's pantry. And part of what I'm interested in is how, at what point for you all does your artistic practice become that kind of communally minded, and, you know, not just about building your own name and prestige and bank account, but also about providing real services to communities who, you know, need shit.
Yeah. Oof. Honestly, this is crazy.
Yeah, that's a good conversation, man. Yo, dude, I'm gonna bring up an old friend of mine. Her name is Brianna McIntyre, you know, and she's a designer. And, you know, I met her. She was, you know, a student at SAIC at the time. And we were just cool. And we were just talking about origins, you know, like how do you get to where you are? And originally she studied politics. You know, she was in Washington working under, like, you know, in Congress or something, you know, working for, you know, a governmental official. And something just clicked in her, like, no one can get anything done here. Like, it's too much. And so it's like, how do we actually get things done in the real world? And then she gravitated towards art. And I think, you know, me and Jordan are, like, in a similar way. It's like, yeah, yes, we are artists, but we believe the capacity and the role of an artist is a lot bigger than just, you know, self-growth. You know, I think that a lot of that comes from our faith, man. Like, we look at the Bible, man, and we're Christians, right? And so, like, for us, our example is Jesus. And everything he did every single day was, like, he served people and he loved people and he met them where they're at. But he didn't really, like, chase nobody down. You know what I mean? Like, he was on his mission. He was on his journey, like, town to town, doing his thing. And so I think that's how me and Jordan feel about it. And is like, we're trying to build a broken city. You know, like, the walls of the city are down. And we're trying to build that joint brick by brick with one another. And we see such beauty in people. You know, I think that's a lot of what Project Stamp was. Is like, man, like, the West Side, our neighbors, there's so much beauty here. and we wanted to like have a little bit of a love note, like, you know, in the 90s when you'd have like a department store Santa Claus and you'd go with your family and, you know, you'd have a family photo, but at the same time create like a public archive, you know. And I know like Jordan can speak more to this, being the proficient photographer that he is, but for us it's an opportunity to bring people together and really uplift their stories.
Yeah, dude, it was about rethinking, you know, community as a canvas too. Because at the same time, you know, we putting our work on these abandoned spaces is like, yo, ain't that vandalism? Ain't that
right?
You know, but it's like, dude, they're not being used. They're just sitting here dormant. Like, we need to do something with them.
Yeah.
And if you tripping about me putting some wee paste of a photograph of somebody, we got bigger issues. Like, seriously. And like John was saying, like, yeah, it's about archiving. It's about telling the story. Because when you go into the history of Chicago and you go back and you look into the archives, you go to the public libraries, you know, or to Oak Park Library, you know, they have sections where you can look at the history of a community. You can look at the history of the city. But it's like those photographs that they tell and they show are from these photographers who are sometimes far removed from the very communities in which they document.
Mm.
That to me is an issue. We need to properly document, properly tell these stories, and tell the stories not from just our perspective, but from the community's perspective. And that means to me and to John, that means being there. You know, the importance of doing this type of artwork is about your presence. It's about proximity. It's about finding ways to learn, finding ways to build with, not build for. And I think with the art, you know, of these photographs, that was a cool way because we partied. You know, we had the chair out there. We had the music. We had food. And it was a gathering. It was a moment to celebrate life. It was a moment to know and understand, yeah, we all going through tough times. But, yo, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. Let's highlight that in you. Let's figure out ways to show that to the world. So, yeah, that's what it was about, man.
No, it's beautiful.
And you know what? It's funny, Kev. I got a book here, Revise the Psalm. And it's you know, work celebrating Gwendolyn Brooks, you know, a great figure here in Chicago. And I know you also authored A People's History of Chicago. So we know that, like, history and archiving and saving the history of, like, our artists is really important to you. And I think we wanted to know your origin stories as well. Like, did you start off as, like, a rapper or, you know, a spitter? Like, because we know you're a poet.
Yeah.
We know you move.
Hey, I appreciate that. This is funny. You know, people don't turn it around on me a lot. So I will be brief. But, yeah, I mean, I certainly started wanting to rhyme. And I think that was my first impetus to do anything creative, was because hip hop, you know, participates in a kind of call and response. And, you know, I think that, and probably even before I wanted to rhyme, I wanted to dance. You know, I think I, like, you know, thought I was going to be like a b-boy for like a good, you know, few years or something like that. And you know, I think I realized fairly early on, well, not really. I probably like kept the dream of rhyming for like probably a decade, you know. And even like when I first started to perform in Chicago, was part of a few different like crews and like even like a live hip hop band. Thankfully, this is before the internet, so people cannot find this shit because I was not dope. But it did, you know, send me to the library. Hip hop sent me to the library to, you know, find Miss Brooks and others and really fall in love with language, you know. And you know, one of the things that I heard you say before, and you're talking about archiving, and I am very interested in history. I, by the way, I think I'm in that book.
You are. Yeah. You got some book in here.
Oh, word. Okay, this was up. But wow, you
living legend, everybody. Don't let them be modest.
I've heard you talk about Afri Cobra before, and I am, you know, I am fascinated by all like what we don't do well enough in Chicago is really tell our own stories, and all of the vibrant shit that came out of the Obasi workshop. out of the Southside Community Arts Center. You know, just an explosion of this kind of communal artistic thinking. I love when I heard y'all say that you, one, place yourselves in that lineage is very clear, but that you're so aware of this history that I don't think enough of us are. I'm wondering, you know, why the connection and what that means for y'all and your practices.
I would say, man, we are who we are because of what was. You know, the foundations that have been laid is what allows for us to be and do what we're doing. You know, and that starts from the home. You know, it starts from the mom and pops. It starts from the grandparents. It starts from those elders who have paved the way for us. And we would be remiss if we did not acknowledge them, because then that means there will be a denial of self, because that's a part of who we are. You know, and when we think about Afrikoba, we think about William Walker and the Wall of Respect and how that transformed not only Chicago, but the nation. The whole entire nation was like figuring out ways to bring different artists of different mediums together to be represented within a movement. And it was amazing to see that transformation of these cities and of our people because of art. And it gave a sense of value and a placement for art, which I don't think was fully represented within the nation. You know, in other countries and other nations, it does have a place. You know, we highlight them. We have a bunch of history books that tell their stories, right? But here in Chicago, here in Illinois, you know, I think, like you talked about, we really don't share that history. And if we do, we don't do it in a way in which is well received or known. Yeah. And I think that's what it is for us, is we being public with it. Like, here it is. Here's the research. And we're trying to create it and do it in a way into which people can digest it. Like John said, just making it more tangible.
Yeah, I think, man, it's so funny about Black history, right? Because you have Pablo Picasso, which every young kid knows as a genius and as brilliant. But when I talk about Jacob Lawrence, it's like, why people know who that is, you know, if that, you know, and I mean, like, he kind of redefined an entire way of painting, you know, like, he's got probably as many works as Picasso himself, you know, he's one of the most decorated artists of our time. And I think that, the history of the Afrikoba movement, the history of the South Side, you know, and the there's a very collaborative practice here in Chicago, you know, that extends with the Comfort Experimental Station. It extends with Rebuild and Sweetwater. It extends with even Chicago Waters Coalition. Like, there's a very collaborative of, like, family. We all know each other. We all hang out. And I think it's because Chicago is a smaller art market than, like, New York. But that's also the beautiful part of it, is like, we all help sustain one another. You know, we all help. We all eat at the same table, invite each other over for dinner. You know, we all know each other. And so there's a kind of an acknowledgement of value, of true value. I think that, you know, oftentimes we're talking about it now as we're, you know, looking at workforce development and why artists are having a little bit of a harder time getting jobs during this COVID-19 thing. Artists can be very kind of independent. Yeah. And so it's like, how do we build that sense of family together again? You know, like, we're all in our separate worlds, but just like Sun Ra's band, you know what I mean? We can come together and really do this thing. And so that's what we think about a lot.
That's beautiful. It's so important.
Out here like Fela Kuti, man.
bringing people together, you know, and feeding people, right? Feeding people too, which you guys do literally. And so I do want to talk about the different programs that Alt Space does, because I'm aware of some of them. But even before we got on, you said y'all were late because you were teaching. And so if you could tell us, like, what are some of the things that y'all do, and also some of the ways that maybe people can participate and be involved in what y'all are doing.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that question, Kevin. You know, I think that what we don't often say, you know, in interviews and things of that nature, is that it's all the same to us. You know, like, there are problems within our community, and it all has to do with equity. You know, we do not have our voice within our community to say what we want and what we don't want. And a lot of that goes down to racist practice, redlining in the 70s. A lot of it has to do with just like who we are as a people, you know, and the discrimination that's happened to us over decades. And so what we're trying to do with AltSpace is build equity. To do that, not only does it take time, but it takes a certain amount of strategy and thinking, right? And so number one, we can't do it ourselves. We need partners. We need other people. And nor should we do it by ourselves, man. Like, no community should have, like, a single proponent that, like, bounces everybody back. You know what I'm saying? It's like, nah, man, there should be a network of people, you know, because to have a healthy community, you need a public library, you need the movies, you need the public park, you need the school doing well, you know what I mean? Like, it all works together. And so for us, it's like, all right, education. You know, creating live art for the youth is clay. You know, that's our youth program in which we're teaching design principles. You know, then we need to feed the people, right? Because too often than not, a lot of organizations go into the hood, they give out free food for the day, feel good about themselves, and then go home. Well, it's like, well, no, you're still perpetuating a system of dependency. And so we need to create independence, which means that, like, we need to rethink about how we think about sharing resources. So let's take this abandoned building and let's just put some shelves on that bad boy, make it look sexy and cool, invite people to share. And then, like, we could all share on this joint right here, just like a, you know, free bookstore. And we're just going to call it the AltSpace Market, you know, and build equity for us all. Same with abandoned spaces. Instead of seeing something that, you know, is discouraging or abandonment, let's redeem this building. And what, when you walk past it, you'll see your neighbor. You'll see your friends, you know, and it'll make a safe space. And when you have a safe space, there's joy, there's life that comes back to that area. It has a very powerful connection to civic engagement. And so for us, you know, that's where Sunday service comes in. You know, like Jordan had done the research that Sunday was one of the most dangerous days on the West Side. It's funny, man. I actually lost some family last weekend, you know, on a Sunday.
Damn.
And it's like we need to shine some light, you know, on this day, you know, and spiritually speaking, too. Like, this is Sunday, right? You know what I'm saying? So I was like, all right, cool. Sunday service then, in which we get our volunteers and we serve block by block cleaning up Austin, which means that we need to rethink about how we clean Austin, right? Like, we can't just pick up trash every day because the next day there's going to be more trash. And so it's like, all right, we need to challenge the sanitation programs. We need to create our own trash bins. And get them sponsored, you know, in mass, you know, and that's why we need a building. We need a building because we need to house all these projects and we need to be able to say, hey, your project matters to us. We want it in our space and we're going to give it all the press and all that. And that's why the press matters to us too, because it's like other organizations, I feel like there's like a grassroots kind of rule, right? Like no one, you know, you don't want that life too much. And I get it. I absolutely get it. However, if the narrative of the West Side is of negativity, we have to literally reframe the narrative by constantly getting the press to say amazing things and lift up amazing neighbors going on in the community. And that way, when you think Austin, Chicago, you don't think Austin, Texas. You think the creative capital of the Midwest, just like how Marfa changed Texas. So, yeah, man, what you think, Sue?
Man, it's cool listening to you.
Right? Job, he's breaking man. It down. You both are. You guys are both dropping like, so many gems.
I've never scratched my head like, did he miss anything? No, man. I think another point, though, just to add to it, like one thing that we do is make sure we focus on disenfranchised and marginalized communities, and that is embedded in the way in which we create our teams. Right. So primarily right now we're focused on making sure we bring in women of color and making sure we work with them and support them in their endeavors. You know, we make sure our board of directors is built with that same fabric. And that's internally. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, like John was referencing, like you have these orphans come into a community looking to be a savior. But I think what they end up not seeing is it's a reflection of who they are. You have to work from the inside out. And that's what it is for us. It's making sure our insides are clear, you know, making sure we're being held accountable, not only by our board and not only by women and men, like, but making sure we're held accountable by the community. And so even with that, it's like we've also been making sure we create these surveys to see how we're doing and publicly say, yo, we messed up. You know, even to be honest and transparent, like today, you know, we got a hit and letting us know that, hey, man, the market's looking horrible over here. And for John and I, that was super discouraging because, like, man, like, really, we did a huge day of canvassing and letting people know, and we're, like, hoping that people take ownership of it because it's like, this is yours, you know? But we realized, like, no, like, you have to realize it's another part to it is healing. You know, when you are doing without or being challenged in so many ways, like, that leaves scars. It's trauma. And that takes time to work through and to learn how to grow through. And so you need help, you need support, you know, all of us need that, you know, in our own ways. I'm sure that none of us on this call right now, whoever's listening to this podcast, has never not needed help. All of us have. And so for us, it's like figuring out how we can truly help, you know, but help in a way in which is very intentional, help in a way in which is ethical, help in a way in which is efficient. You know, figuring out ways to understand and know, like, yo, like John said, we're not the ones who have to do everything, but we can figure out ways to make connections with the ones who do. You know, one of the things that we do as educators for us is not a matter of teaching you what to think, but how.
Yep.
You know, and that's what's key. It's like, we're going to give you all the tools to figure out how to do whatever it is that you're aiming towards.
And I want to like point, like, we're artists, right? And I want to be very clear on that. Like, I don't like it when, you know, people call us activists or anything like that. Like, it's like, no, I'm just an artist. You know, like, or I'm just a neighbor. or black man, whatever you want to choose out of those three. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I want to, like, how artists can move in the world can move a little bit more differently, right? Because the same skills in which you use to create a photograph or to create a painting, those are the same skills you can use to create the world, to recreate the world, to reimagine what the world could be. You know, and I think too often times than not, we're stuck in the gallery. And it's like, nah, man, we have equity here. We need to work on it over here. You know what I'm saying? And so helping other artists understand that as well. Like, I love what Chance the Rapper has started in Chicago about independence. And just like thinking more about that is like, all right, it's not enough to just be able to rap. Love your skill set. Love it. You know what I mean? I love your choice of beats. But it's about distribution. You know, it's about publishing. It's about, like, merchandise. Like, how does this machine go? Like how does the system work? The system in which your work can live in the world. Because that's your power. That's true power.
Yeah. No, that's right. I tell, you know, my students all the time that, you know, this world has been imagined, so then it's also on us to imagine the world to be, you know. Mm-hmm. And I do think the role of the artist is to do that, is to be civically minded, you know. And it's part of the reason why I so appreciate what you guys are doing. And you know, I'm excited for when I'm excited and fearful for. I want you guys are clearly going to get the Genius Award. I just hope, you know, we're able to chat again. Once you guys do, you'll return my phone calls. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah.
We were nominated twice for that.
Dope.
And lost.
Well, you guys will get it. It's forthcoming. Fellas, what's the best way to be in tune with all of what you guys are doing? Where can people find and you know, get involved?
Man. Well, one, social media. You know, definitely go to our Instagram. Two, in the streets, man. Let's just be real. You know, we'll rub shoulders with you if we see you out there, because we're always out there. We're always figuring out ways to not only, you know, take care of our markets, but also to figure out ways in which we can serve our communities, whether it's West Side, whether it's South Side, but really wherever the needs are, that's where you'll find us. You know,
Jordan, will you give them the social media?
Please. Of course. So it's our Instagram is alt_Chicago, and then our website is altspacechicago.com.
Great. And John, can you guys give out the addresses for where those markets, I mean, to literally find y'all in the streets, or just the locales of where if folks want to pop up?
I'll say that if you want to find us, you can find us around Austin Town Hall if you're in Austin, or in, you know, we're usually there like on weekends and things of that nature, or in Greater Grand Crossing. And I'll leave it at that, because I think that what we want to do is continue to protect the markets and protect, you know, from anybody. We don't want people coming taking selfies and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Fellas, I really, really appreciate the time, and you guys are energizing and inspiring, and it's only been 30 minutes, and I'm like half a thousand ideas, you know what I mean? And I think that's a mark of a great conversation. So I really appreciate y'all. Thank you guys so much for being in the Corner Store.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you, Kev.
Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official Corner Store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the Snack Door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the Corner Store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.